get to some questions. You all don't have to stand up every time. You can sit and talk, and we'll just go from there. I want to start with schools. We'll kind of work our way through the budget. The most expensive thing in Texas, if you look at the state budget, is schools. There's a school finance case that you all may be aware of where a judge at the district level declared the current system unconstitutional. It's in front of the Supreme Court. It looks like something that could be up in front of the next legislature. So I want to start with school finance. What do you think the state ought to be doing? Do you think the state is spending enough money? Do you think property taxes are high enough? How do you think that balance ought to work? And how do you think we ought to get out of this particular jam? And we'll get into content of public schools after we talk about how we pay for them. Dr. Buckingham, you want to start?
Sure.
Let's go down the row again.
All right. Well, I'll just give you a little bit of background about myself. You know, I'm a product of public schools. My kids are in public school. I served on the Lake Travis School Board, and I sit on the State Board for Educator Certification, and the educators on that board elected me their vice chair. So I enjoy learning a lot about that. That being said, I am here to be sure that we have the best public schools possible. You know, as parents, our highest calling from God is to educate our children in the best way that they see fit. And so we have got to figure out a way to make our public schools the best way possible and to be able to have options for the various kids in the various ways that they learn. So my short talking point is we need to empower parents in their children's education. And to that end point, you know, I wish that I had a crystal ball and we could sit here and we could solve all of public schools' finance woes. Right now, it was funny, I was talking to a long-term state representative who had retired long ago, and he said, you know, Don, when I first came in the legislature in the 70s, a senior legislator put his arm around me and said, son, we're talking about public school funding today. And son, when you die, we're still going to be talking about public school funding. So with that being said, you know, I think there are a lot of things that we can do and should be doing to help our schools. We need to decrease the unfunded mandates and regulatory burden that come down. I think we need to decrease the standardized testing that we have. I think WADA, which is your weighted average daily attendance, should go away. Schools should be reimbursed on the students that they have enrolled, not necessarily the students who show up. If I want to go on vacation with my kids who have a 98 average in school, I should be able to take them out, and the school shouldn't be penalized for that as long as they can maintain their grades. But I think we have a lot of area to grow and expand and be able to help our public schools, and I will look forward to working on that in the Senate. Thank you.
No, I do not think property taxes are high enough. That's a joke for everybody in the room. Anybody who owns property knows that property taxes are high enough. And, you know, interestingly enough, I've seen both sides of this. When I was growing up, my parents are here in the front row. We lived in San Marcos, and the school districts that I went to were at the time one of the largest recipients of Robin Hood funds in the state. It was a very poor district. And my kids go to Lake Travis schools, and Lake Travis is one of the largest payers of funds to Robin Hood. And so I've seen it both ways. My kids have great schools, and kids there get great educations. But, you know, I don't think it's a function of how much money we're spending. I think it's a function of parental involvement. And, you know, one of the things that I committed to my family when I began this process was I was going to tell people the truth, whether or not they wanted to hear it. And the bottom line for me with education is, if you don't have parental involvement in children's education, government can't solve the problem. You know, in San Marcos Public Schools, when I was in school, everybody got free lunch because it cost more to determine who got free or reduced lunch than it did just to give everybody lunch. My mom was an elementary school librarian in that school, and there were kids that would come to kindergarten for the first day that had never owned a pair of shoes. It was a very poor school district. But somehow I managed to get an education in that school district and go on to college. And the reason was is because I had a mom and dad at home who told me, I'm doing my job, and you are going to do your job. And that's the key. It's not a funding. It's not money. It's none of that. Money can't fix it. Government can't fix the problem if you don't have parents actively involved that put a strong emphasis on kids. You know, and the fact of the matter is, in this country, we pick you up at your house on public transportation. We send you to a public school. We provide you breakfast, lunch, and dinner in most cases. We provide you a professional educator and the textbooks you need to learn, and we do that for 18 years. If you haven't picked those tools up off the table in 18 years, I don't think there's a lot that the government can do in addition to that. Thank you.
Our school finance system is a total mess. Robin Hood has never worked. It was an unfair system when it started. It's still an unfair system today. I think we're up to 80, 85% of school districts in the state suing the state over the school finance system. The 90 now. The rich districts are suing. The poor districts are suing. I don't know who's happy with the current system. But we also have a problem with who's addressing the concerns. I don't know how many of you spend much time in Travis County, but it's not a place you want to be in court. And so the school finance case was heard by Judge Dietz in Austin, who's an incredibly liberal judge, issued an incredibly liberal ruling. Now we're at the Supreme Court, and it's going to go back to the legislature. Hopefully we can fix it. But we also need to continue on the path of establishing a separate court to deal with these issues. School finance is a continuing problem that's not going away. We need to have a judge with expertise in the area, and we need it to be going that way, not through whatever liberal Travis County judge gets assigned. I think we also have an issue with school finance on the local level with bonds. I think a lot of our school boards are spending way too much money on bonds. It's on special election days, not the general election day, where they can turn their supporters out. I am fully behind public schools. I want to fully fund them and fully support them. My parents are both retired public school teachers. But I also want it to be done in a transparent and fair way, and I don't think the current bond election process does that. I could keep going on about education finance, but I'll stop there for now.
As an eight-year member of the Abilene Independent School District and 2 years of president, it's very obvious that school finance never is completely fixed or checked off. And why is that? Because we have over 250,000 people. 2,500 people daily moving into the state. Many of them have children. And why? Because Texas has the most business-friendly economic situation in the country. That's called internal migration, not illegal immigration, not legal immigration, but internal migration. So the court case is looking at this. They have already ruled that the system for financing is unconstitutional. Okay, so then what do we do? Will they require the legislature to do something? Perhaps. So, but it's very important to watch this case. It's coming forward, and it will probably be heard with a definitive answer after March. Go figure, because people are too worried about all the primaries and all the elections and everything else to bring it up right now. It's possible we could be called back for a special session. Is there too big a burden on the property owners? Perhaps there is. It's a split funding formula, very little federal, and a big split between state and local funding. It used to be about 60% from the local and 40% from the state. Now it's the pendulum has swung. So the important part about it is we can talk about Robin Hood, and that's a certainly big issue. But again, in this district, we're not dealing with only large cities. We're dealing with rural Texas, and that's why the funding mechanism is so difficult. Price of oil, I can't give you that prediction. I'd like to. Is that going to impact funding? The rainy day fund was never intended to have a shortfall in any area where we're underfunded. So it's very important to look at this. I will tell you that the three criteria for looking at funding is equity, adequacy, and capacity. Right now, the school districts have no right and cannot, without a rollback election, to go be above $1.04 per $100 evaluation. They can go up to $1.17 with a rollback election. So it's in the hands of the people what we do with this, and that's a good thing. The buy down from $1.50 max back in 2005 is gone. So the school districts cannot spend runaway, and if they have a bond, that was their local people voting for it. They have every right to vote for what they want to have. That has nothing to do with the state, and it's very transparent about what the bond issues were, what the terms of the bond was, and so people know, because it's M&O, day-to-day functioning, and INS, interest and sinking fund, which is the debt service. So yes, we need to look at it. What I do not want is any pull, any more than we already have on the urban side. Only 15 representatives and even, well, three senators west of I-35. So the rural-urban divide will never stop because it's population-driven. And so I think it's important to follow this. Public schools are important, but I think competition between public schools is equally as important. And obviously, parental involvement cannot be legislated. Not now, not ever.
been a long time since I heard the question. I think it was two part. One was, are we spending enough for education?
Well, it's what do you think about school finance, and are you know, what do you think about the balance between property taxes and the state? How would you fix it?
Okay, if it's not well, I think we're spending enough. Property taxes and school finance has been an issue, as has been said already, for literally decades. You know, practically speaking, so we just don't make stuff up. Practically speaking, what are our options? You've got property tax, and that's how Robin Hood came in to kind of equalize things. Or you have sales tax. That's about it, folks. Property tax or sales tax. If you take away Robin Hood, then property tax isn't going to work very well. So we're in a conundrum here. There's no easy answer to this. So with that short deal, property tax or sales tax, I'd like to turn to another issue that has also been brought up, and it's the school bonds. I don't think, it's not that I don't think, I know school bond presentations are not transparent. School bonds are put together by superintendent school boards. They're often placed on an off-election date so that the folks don't know what they're voting for. They think they're voting for good schools, and what they're voting for is a big tax bill and a huge burden going down many, many decades. School tax or school bonds need to be on a uniform election date in November. They need to be transparent. They need to say not only how much we're borrowing, but what is going to be the ultimate cost running it out 30 years. And so we have to decrease the school bonds according to what people, you know, in the districts, people will, if they know, in many cases, will not add that added burden onto their taxes. So school bonds have to be made transparent. I think everybody knows that, and the only ones fighting against it are the school boards.
I got one. Okay, let's take it in two pieces. I want to try to stay true to the question. The first piece is as far as financing. Well, I have to look at this from a rural perspective, because everybody says, well, let's get rid of property taxes. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. That means that I'm going to potentially, and put it to sales tax, that means I'm going to potentially lose my ag exemption on my vineyard, my other timber lands in East Texas, and my stuff in Bosque County. So you got to be really careful with that. And they say, well, we'll just put it on sales tax. And I talked to one guy, I said, what do you mean, what sales tax? He said, anything that's taxed in any state. And I got to looking, and a hose for my tractor, that gets taxed. Right now, it's not taxed. So I think we're going to be staying with property taxes, and now we have to say, or how do we get the level of property taxes down? And to me, I believe the debt is a big issue on property taxes. There's two things I want to talk about, the debt on property taxes and the administrative cost on our education. Now, first of all, let's talk about the debt. I am a firm believer that we do not have a high enough hurdle rate for our debt that we're putting in front of our local citizens. As y'all all know, there's a bond allowable test that's done by the Attorney General that says your payback has to be at a certain level. I think we need to raise that standard so it's a little bit tougher to borrow money. It's been too easy for school districts to borrow money because they get the tax exemption and they're covering a very low hurdle in the bond allowable debt. We can raise that hurdle and pull that debt down. The other thing is the administrative cost. I was just sitting over with the superintendent of schools here, Eric, and I saw this thing on the board with all of the administrative stuff that they have to follow through. I am for local control. And I believe if we put the control back to the local school districts and the superintendents and the school boards, and we kind of sever the administrative thing between the state and the feds, and I know that's hard, you're going to save a lot of money. The state no doubt has a responsibility to flow the cash through, but to put all of these requirements on our teachers, on our superintendents, and our school board is administratively an overburden that we can save a lot of money on. So we got to get it harder to borrow money, and we got to get it easier to run our schools locally at a more efficient cost. Thank you.
You bet.